Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz and bringing the Badger in on this Memorial Day Badger. And, of course, Memorial Day... You know, big day, and obviously in American history anyways, and, you know, obviously always somewhat of a somber day with remembering back, and any thoughts about Memorial Day?
Yeah, it's a time to reflect on all we're lucky to have here. When you look at what's going on in the rest of the world, you got the maniacs running loose in the Mideast. Who knows what's going to happen there? You've got Kim Jong-il. You've got now we're having tensions with China over them building military bases on what used to be reefs. The world's a bad place, Bubba. I don't think the world's ever been a better place. We've never needed our security forces, our armed forces more. So you have to reflect on this, and that's what today's for. And you have to thank yourself and thank all those people that go out there and let us live our life.
I agree 100%. And, yeah, it's always, you know, something you have to remember to thank who took care of you and who put you in the spot that you're in. But, you know, there's a bunch to go over because, as you know, I was in New York last week and was on a couple of different shows. And but first, you know, I think let's just talk about the markets in general. I mean, again, you know, the dribbling, the drooling of just grinding up almost every single day continues. You know, I continue to think that, you know, as we did back in 01, that, you know, we can't tell the market not to go up because it's not going to listen. And at some point, but there will be something, and it'll probably be something tied to something that nobody is even thinking about right now that will actually force some of the selling. But in general, what do you see?
Same thing as you. Volatility's nothing. The markets grind. They churn around. You know, when the Dow's up or down 200 or 300, you would think listening to commentators on TV that the world's safer, it's going to come to an end. But they got to realize the Dow's not trading 18,000. You know, it's not trading 8,000. It's all a percentage move. I hear you tell people from time to time, you know, well, if you got a $54 stock and it's up a dollar and a half, everybody goes, well, what's that? But if you got a $540 stock, it's up $15. They go, wow, look at that move today. It's the same thing. Well, that's what I'm talking about here. I agree with you. We just keep grinding. Volatility goes down. But the market keeps going up. Some event will trigger it. We've talked about that. You know, do you commit new funds at this level? No, I would be leery. I feel the same as you. We just go up the tops. Then we sell off a little bit. Find a support level. Go up the top. Sell off a little bit. Eventually, I guess it's going to break out one side or the other. If it breaks out to the upside, I don't know how much is there. If you listen to the guys that are fundamentalists, well, there could be a lot there. But if you look at PE ratios, you look at everything, it seems to me that we are getting much closer to where there's just not going to be much more upside. And do I know what's going to trigger the sell-off to get people interested again? I don't know, but there will be something.
Oh, there's always something. So, again, you're saying that this time will not be different than any other time. Is that what you're saying?
This time will not be different. It never seems like it when you're in it. This time will be different. And, you know, you got people that have just been investing for brief periods of time, and they do think this time will be different. But it won't be. You know, we've watched markets for 35 years, almost 40 years, and we've studied markets for forever. And this time will never be different. There is going to be a big drawdown in the market. When that drawdown is going to occur, there's no way for us to tell. But, you know, we're not calling for the end of the world. We're not saying that the U.S. currency is suddenly going to lose its value. It's no longer going to be the reserve currency. We're not talking about all the crazy stuff that people talk about. What we're saying is people should prepare for this. That's just the nature of markets, and it's not going to change.
And I think that's the bigger story is that, you know, if you're prepared, then it doesn't matter what happens. And that, I think, is where many investors and people like that, and even many advisors make that mistake, is they're not prepared. Because, you know, obviously, you know, I do a lot of media, and they're always, you know, they're never, nobody's ever worried about anything. You know, it's like, well, the markets are going to go forever. And you and I both know that that is not going to be the case. And it does, again, it doesn't mean that the world's going to come to an end, and that, you know, but for the people that do get affected by the markets, and there, well, always, there always is a group that does get affected, right? It will be the end of the world. It will be the end of the world for them.
It will be. They'll be leveraged up. They'll be backwards. They'll be buying all the stocks that can never go down, like Tesla. Something will happen. Although it appears at Amazon, Jeff Bezos has been able to spin the web for 15 years. When is the street going to give up on that stuff? I don't understand that. You think they wanted to make profit at some point?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an amazing, you know, look, I don't get it. I've asked the question to people, and nobody seems to get it, but Amazon seems to be a darling, and for whatever reason, you know, again, it doesn't make sense to me, but I guess, you know, they don't have to make the same kind of money everybody else does, or maybe there's value in everything else they do. I just don't understand. It doesn't make sense, but again, it doesn't have to make sense to me. The bottom line is the stock is over $400, and it was $30 in 2008, and obviously, if you bought it at 30, you'd have a nice winner. Of course, if we bought it at 30, we'd be out at 35, so we wouldn't have to worry about all this extra
32.
All this extra buying and things. I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, when you look around, and what I find interesting is the really the lack of interest, okay, and just general lack of market, you know, nobody cares. I mean, you know, the volumes have been really light. Everything is kind of going down. And, you know, nobody has any interest in anything, okay? And that is what I find funny. Of course, again, it'll change at some point. There'll be suddenly be a reason to be interested. But we continue to see the worldwide manipulation of currency and other things. Does that have to become a problem? Is it possible? And I'm not talking about the general markets right now, but is it possible that they could actually run the script the way they think it is and actually put this stuff off long enough to get through it all? Is that a possibility?
No. No, it's not a possibility. At some point, you know, the first time they tried this, Bubba, was what? Japan, after the real estate bubble burst there, and they refused the banks to take a loss, and they suffered through what they call the lost generation, 20 years of no growth, 20 years of nothing. I mean, the country didn't disappear, but the markets didn't grow, and now they're back to QE again, and the markets are being inflated. Assets are being inflated by the central bank, and eventually there is just no way. You can't do this forever. You can't keep printing the money. And by printing the money, we don't mean that it's just inflation. We're talking about where you just inflate the wealthy's asset values. The other people don't participate in all. And at some point, the Ponzi scheme comes to an end. It's going to happen. But one of the good things is a lot of tools have come into the market in the last 20 years that will allow investors to be able to live through that.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, the tools are definitely there, and we have the tools, and we have the toolkit to go along with the tools, and that's, you know, one of the things that we always encourage advisors and individual investors that we do a lot of consulting for to reach out to us because, you know, you look at the relative costs and, you know, of what happens and how much you can lose. And for a small fee, you can learn how to protect all that. That's a pretty good spot to be in when it's all said and done. But again, you know, there's no telling in when it's going to end. And we're certainly not predicting it. And the beauty about what we do is it doesn't matter because we're protected no matter what. And we actually welcome it when it does come because it does give you, it puts you in an enviable spot of having more cash ready to go. Because you didn't get drilled and lose it all there. But this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Wars. I'm hanging out with the Badger today. And we want you to check out The Bubba Report. Go to thebubbashow.org. Get yourself signed up. $99 a year. The May issue is out. And we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Wars.
Stay with me right now. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger today. So, Badger, you know, I think that one of the things I want to talk to you about is ISIS. Now, I was on, you know, I know you watched me on last Thursday, and I said that why don't we just go there and blow them up, basically. I mean, obviously, that's not exactly what I said, but I mean, that's what I'd like to do. I mean, I don't think of all the times that the United States has sat back and done nothing, or of all the times they've done something, you know, I didn't agree when we went in the first time into Iraq. I thought it was a mistake because, you know, it really, as we learned, I think when you get rid of Saddam Hussein, you know, as bad as a guy he was, he kind of kept everybody under control there for a while, right? I mean, that was kind of always the theory, you know, and so things got a little bit out of control. But now we look at it, and I'm pretty afraid and pretty scared about this whole ISIS deal and what they're doing. And I, as much as I don't want to put our troops, you know, especially we're on Memorial Day, but as much as I don't want to put our troops back boots on the ground and back in the fighting, somehow we need to go there now and I think take them out instead of being the passive reactor and taking care of it when it's too late. I think we have to go in there and be the aggressor here. What's your thoughts? Why am I right? Why am I wrong? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that certainly as much as Jeb Bush wants to say it's not a problem, invading Iraq in 2003, which we strongly disagreed with, and we disagree with it not necessarily so much on a moral ground, but we disagree with it on an economic ground, and the fact that we're getting back into Vietnam where we didn't understand the culture. We had been in enough of those problems, not understanding the culture. I didn't understand why we did in 2003. Then when we left, not at the end, when Obama pulled out, which is one of the few accurate things he's ever said, that was George Bush's table. But when we let the troops go, when Brenner fired all the troops and disbanded the army, as you well know, I'm connected to the military, and that military was over there at the time, and they were just completely in a state of shock. They couldn't believe what happened. How can you take 450,000 guys, take their job away, and expect these guys to lay down? And that was when we started with ISIS. And that's when we started with the sectarian violence. We started with everything. You know, so you have to look at, can we go back in there right now? Should the United States go back in by itself? Well, my feeling is that really ISIS is not that big, Bubba. It's probably about maybe 70,000 troops at the absolute maximum. You're going to get more of these fanatics as they grow, and these absolute maniac monsters grow. So I'm thinking that the U.S. probably needs to get some help. They need to get some, you know, a coalition here. They need to get somebody that's going to stop these people. You know, the Saudis don't have much of a military force, since we're really their military force. Israel's not going to go after them because ISIS isn't about to go after Israel yet. But the Western allies, countries that have been attacked, are they going to give us the people? Are they going to go in with us? Is Britain going to go in with us? You know, France, Spain, all these Western countries, are they going to go in and help us to get rid of these guys? I don't think you're going to get a big appetite here as long as our borders appear to be secure for going in and get these guys. You know, they're going to take over Syria, but that's probably Putin's problem more than ours. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I mean, again, you know, the problem that I have here, and, you know, I'm afraid. I mean, I got to tell you something. I mean, these are not, we're not dealing with sticks and knives and just regular old guns anymore. And they may be small as far as we know, but I think they may be bigger than we think they are. But you know what? It doesn't matter if you're nuts and you have no regard for any life or any human, okay, then you are capable of doing something that could end the population. And I don't know if they have the weapon. I don't know if they have the tool. I don't know if they can get involved with somebody that could, but again, the threat that it could even happen bothers me.
I agree. No, when I've said this and we've talked about this before. You know, if Kim Jong-un gets enough of them, I think he'd probably be a quick seller to the rest of the terrorists of the world. That is a very, very, very bad scenario. I agree with you. They could possibly deliver it here to the U.S. I don't see it. They'd be more likely to deliver it to Great Britain, or they'd be more likely to deliver it to something in their region. It'd be harder here. They certainly have no capability to deliver it remotely. By that, I mean by coming in through submarines, coming in through intercontinental ballistic missiles. They don't have that capability. They just don't have it. But it does bother me. It does scare me. And, yeah, they got to be dealt with. These are actually, I think, if it's possible, you know, this was the 70th anniversary just last month, or earlier in the month, excuse me, of the collapse of the Nazis. It is possible these guys are actually worse. They're just the worst people that the earth has ever seen. Maybe Genghis Khan and some of those fellows were worse, but I can't imagine it.
Well, they're worse than the Nazis.
Only
for one reason, because the Nazis, they were trying to make a purebred. Okay, they wanted to live, they wanted to move on, but they wanted to live on their terms and make everybody, you know, pure, you know, and they're obviously in their eyes. These guys, they don't even want to live; they could care less. So they're
Become martyrs.
So the issue is now. My opinion is you know, I have market theory, but you know, you and I both go back to 2001, and we talked about this earlier today, and I said, you know, in 2001, that was actually the signal that, you know, that gave everybody a reason to sell and dump. And, you know, if these guys don't blow up the world, then, you know, these guys could be a cause or a reason why the market is sell. But again, I want to get back to just, I understand everything. So do we go after them, or do we wait? I mean, what do you do here? You have a little bit more knowledge, and you're privy to more information than I am.
The Obama administration is not going to commit ground troops at this point. They're not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He said he's not going to do it. He's not going to commit them. They'll use air power, which will support the ground troops. You know, he's now saying, well, we're going to go in and we're going to train more Sunnis in Iraq to defend themselves and try to get these guys out of there. But the political mistakes that the administration made, I'm not blaming. They inherited a bad situation with George Bush. And, you know, I'm not going to say they did not. All right. That's going to be hard to defeat, because you can't do that. It's true. They inherited a bad. But now what they've done is they've allowed the situation to get out of control. And I'm not sure exactly, you know, how do we go in there? Are we going to put together a 500,000 man army and go in and go out and dig them out?
I don't know. Do you drop a bomb? I'm asking.
No, you're not going to do that.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's not going to work. But if we put together a 500,000 man army to go and make sure that other free countries aren't terrorized by it, you don't think these guys are going to stop there, do you?
They're not stopping anywhere. They're not stopping. In my opinion, they're not stopping until they blow up the world.
I agree. They won't. So at some point in time, what event's going to have to occur? I mean, are they going to be able to stage another 9/11 attack here? Is that going to unite the Western world to say, okay, this is it. We've had it enough with these rats. We're going to send over the most highly advanced technical force ever seen. We're going to put a million-man army in there. We're going to go out these rats, and we're going to exterminate them. And this is a little bit tough, but the only way you really exterminate these people is you exterminate everybody.
Right.
Everybody that's tied in with them. All right.
All right.
You exterminate the idea. I mean, now they've captured, I'm not sure of the city in Syria, I forget the name of it, that has all those ancient, all the ancient treasures from previous civilizations. Are they going to just blow them up? Probably. You don't think if they got involved with the Western world, you don't think if they were able to get over here, they wouldn't take every piece of art, they wouldn't take every piece of accomplishment and absolutely obliterate it? So, at some point they got to be stopped, but I'm not so sure right now that we have the ability to go in and stop them. So I ask you, what happens if Syria falls? Are they going to go after Israel? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Israel will definitely go after them.
Oh, no, there's no question about that. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break, because this is pretty important stuff. And again, you know, tying it into Memorial Day, I think it's very important stuff, because that's our freedom that we're talking about. Yeah, and these are some of the things we also write about in the Bubba Report. You know, it's something that I want everybody to, I think you should check it out. You know, for, like I said, $99 a year, you get at least 12 issues of different writing from different guys who have different bases of experience and all kinds of things. I think it's important. Check it out at thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badgers. So you're damn right, Israel goes after him, Badger. I mean, you know, obviously, from a selfish standpoint, I would like to see him go towards Israel, because I think Israel would take him out. And then I think Israel, because, you know, it's always wondering, you know, would Obama send in help to help Israel?
Well, they're our chief ally in the Middle East. They have been for, you know, going on 60 years. So the question is, would he do it? He's, you know, distanced himself from Netanyahu. I think he would. I think Israel, but see, the problem with Israel is they don't have much of a ground force. It's mostly air power, right? So they're going to have trouble putting an army on the ground out there. They have a defensive army, and so ISIS would not probably be able to get in. And I think if it came to that, I believe that they would get help from the Western world to try to slow these guys down. I don't think these maniacs are crazy and they don't care about dying. And it's a culture of death, not a culture of life. But I don't think that they're stupid enough to commit forces to try to go in against Israel at this point. You know, Iran is more likely to do that. They have the ground forces. They have the folks. Of course, if they do that, then Israel probably would, if they faced annihilation, unfortunately, I think Israel would probably go ahead and just either put an all-out war on Iran, where they just simply bomb the cities and the people to death, or drop the big one on them.
Yeah, I mean, these are things that are problems, and of course, this does tie to the bad economies around the world, because sure, when you have poor people that have nothing else to live for, they find these types of arrangements, which really makes it scary, because you know the number of terrorist people that are in the United States already, right? And now they may not be direct terrorists as we know them, as you know, as we put them in the Bin Laden camp, but there are many here that are certainly like right on the edge, right? That could be pushed either way.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that's a fact, but I think that's just the law of large numbers. We talk about this all the time. Let's say that 99% of the entire population of the world just wants to enjoy their life, right? Just wants to have fun, just wants to do things with their family, earn their living, and have a nice life. That still leaves 60 million nutcases. 60 million nutcases. That's if 99% of the population want to be enjoy life. If 99.9% want to enjoy life, that still leaves 600,000 nutcases out there.
Right. No, I mean, I understand it, but I mean, again, my concern, as is yours, is, you know, where they are in proximity to me, right? I mean, one of my neighbors could be one. You know, I mean, it just.
I doubt that any of your neighbors.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, there are, you know, many of that, you know, of that ilk around me. Now, sure. Whether they're terrorists or not, I can't say. I don't, you know, you can't classify everybody, but it would certainly be something that, you know, we know from gangsters and things in life, you know, how powerful and how far reaching many of these groups can be. And, you know, I'm afraid that it's reaching, you know, very far, you know, much farther than we would like it to be. And of course, so we don't have the proper knowledge or whatever to go in and fight, you know, boots on the ground, I guess. I don't know. I definitely know
we've learned a lot. I can tell you that. I guarantee you that, as I said before, because I'm associated with military, and I have long conversations with people that are much more knowledgeable about this than me. We do have the ability to do it. We understand the situation more. The problem is, can we change the way, you know, winning the hearts and minds, right? Can we change the way these people think?
No.
I agree with you. You know, we talked about this earlier. Saddam Hussein was a brutal, miserable, horrible person. But he could, unfortunately, no matter what you want to say, we didn't understand the way their society works. Would you say I'm wrong about that?
No, I've used that many times. I mean, you know, he was bad, but he was one guy, and he kept them under wraps pretty good. And since he's been gone, times have got a lot tougher there.
Yeah. I mean, look at Libya. Muammar Gaddafi, every possible thing bad in the world was Muammar Gaddafi. He was a pedophile. He was just a horrible, horrible person. But the country functioned under his rule. I'm not going to use the word leadership. I mean, I think in the end, probably the drugs and everything else got him. I think that he just simply went off his rocker. Think about this. He was probably the wealthiest man in the world, Bubba. Think about that. And he ended up dying in a ditch. What does that tell you about his mindset? But at least he could run the show. Now look at these places. Remember the Arab Spring. Now look at the Arab Spring. What's it turned into? It's just turned into new thugs replacing old thugs. There's nothing different. In fact, the new thugs are actually worse because the old thugs kept these thugs under control.
Right. No, I mean, I'm saying so, you know, it goes back to now, you know, you've listened to the Yoda and Backpack interviews. Any of their stuff make sense in compared to what we're talking about now?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think that they have a very good view. I believe that their view is a little more conservative than mine. I'm going to say that. However, their view of what's going on is not wrong. They understand. They understand economics. They understand what goes into this. They understand that these fanatics that want to take over the world, and these people, they just want to wipe out Western civilization. They've stated it. They've stated it categorically that their goal is to take Western civilization and wipe them out.
And that, of course, that's the rub. That's the scary part. And of course, you know. You know, when I was on Thursday, they had that guy from the ex from the CIA,
yeah,
talking about the news release that they put out that they already had for 3.5 years. So, what's your take on all that stuff?
I thought it was pretty accurate. I don't. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's amazing, and it goes back to, you know, my concern of everything is, you know, I can deal with a lot of stuff. You know, in life and in business, and we've all had heartaches, we've all had troubles, we've all had, you know, a lot of things happen, but, you know, you can't manipulate it around. You have to deal with it as it comes, and I don't like the way that we're being handled
in any sense of the word, from a financial spot to the terrorist spot. Anyway, I don't like being handled. I personally, my life is I like to meet things head on, and I don't want to be surprised later, and I don't want to wait for something bad to happen. And like I said, I don't know what we can do, but you know, I don't want to have a news item come out that, you know, tries to maybe ease my mind a little bit about what's going on because they feel that the tension may be getting a little higher. To me, those are bad things. I don't like, you know, anything that's going on right now in the financial world of the manipulation. I mean, I'm happy for the people that own stock and are going up. That's great. But I don't like manipulation. That's always a problem. And I don't like those things when they happen. And to me, you know, I think in every walk right now, we're being totally handled by the government. And to me, I don't like that type of handling. I think there needs to be more done, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think maybe if we have time in the next segment, I'd like to talk about what's happened with this the movement now for the $15 minimum wage.
Oh, right? I definitely want to talk about that because obviously, you know, I have thoughts on that as well as you do. And, you know, it's just, again, I don't know where it was written. You know, when I look back, you know, and obviously you're a much bigger historian than I am. But you know, when I look back to, you know, the original framers of the Constitution, and I look back to, you know, where it was then, obviously, I mean, A, they could not predict the growth and just physical bodies between then and now, right? I mean, obviously.
Well, it's impossible. Nothing is the same. Absolutely zero is the same between when the Constitution was written. As far as physical things, age, extent of life, all those things are different. But one thing isn't different is the emotional, moral things that are written in the Constitution.
Right. And that, to me, see, and those are things, you know, because you can adjust for anything, you know. I mean, you know, and you can move it forward to get the meaning, what was meant by that, what was meant by, you know, why did the Revolutionary War happen? Okay. And those are all things that can be dealt with. But when you try to, you know, manipulate and move those things around and you go from, you know, being the best country, don't get me wrong, we're still the best country in the world, but we are somewhat more socialistic about everything that we do. And to me, I find that to be also troubling. And that goes into, you know, the new minimum wage. You know, nobody ever told me, I didn't read it anywhere in my school books that I was guaranteed any wage at all, let alone a minimum wage. And now they want to take that minimum wage and drive it up. But we'll come back after the break and go through that because this could be the thing that finally pushes the market over the edge. But this is the Bubba Show. I'm with the Badger, and you know, the Badger and I put together with Scott Shalady and Keith Bliss and Bonnie Pettinger and Mike Brown and Damon Viriel a monthly newsletter that gives you views from guys that have over 200 years of experience between the equity, commodities, real estate, financial planning, and it's $99 a year. And I'm just telling you that at $99 a year, it's a steal. And it gets you access into our world in which we help you become better at whatever part of the investing world you want to be better at. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Check out thebubbashow.org. We'll be back after the break with more on The Badger. And we're going to rip apart this minimum wage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with The Badger. So Badger, as you know, and you saw me last Wednesday, I was on and I got to be on the panel about minimum wage. So I'm going to give you my views first. You know, you and I haven't even talked about it since I did that. But first of all, as you know, I hate the thought, you know, as I closed out last segment with the manipulation and forcing things to do. And I believe that, you know, fair work, fair trade. And, you know, obviously there's enough good companies out there. And if they want to pay you more, great. And if you want to work for less, that, you know, it's like make any kind of market. But I think this minimum wage could very well be something that pushes the stock market over the edge. Because I can tell you from just doing some raw numbers in my head, you know, kind of like what you and I did when Bernie Madoff showed up and that news showed up and we looked at each other and said, impossible. It could not have, nobody could, you, not, no way you should not have known that was going to happen, right?
It was impossible. It was, we talked about this.
Okay? And so now it's impossible. I mean, you know, I did simple numbers. I just took, for example, a small McDonald's franchise, okay, that operates, you know, most McDonald's are open 24 hours a day now, right? So you got 168 hours a week for one employee, okay, right. You're paying. So if you take a McDonald's, the average McDonald's probably has an average staff of 5 employees throughout all their shifts, right?
I would agree.
So 5 times 168 is 840 hours a week times the what they want to bump at $6. So you're telling me that a McDonald's franchise now has to make in clear profit an extra $200,000 a year. It's actually $180,000 and change, but by the time you put in benefits and taxes, you're talking about probably $250,000 a year in profit just to pay off these employees with the new minimum wage. You tell me how many small businesses you know that can take that kind of money out and be able to pay that kind of bill.
Well, I don't. Small businesses, they're not going to be able to do it. Now, they're going to have to find a way to be innovative. And what I mean by that is they're going to have to find automation where they can hire a robot that can do some of these simple tasks. Just like when you go to supermarkets now, you know, the self-checkout lines just keep getting bigger, 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 right? And the checkout lines where you have employees get smaller. Well, why? Because the self-checkout lines are a fixed cost. All the electricity that runs a self-checkout line, they'll run forever. They're all programs. The computer programs are smart enough. I use them all the time. I never go to the line anymore. The only thing is, if I'm buying beer, you gotta get the lady to come over because they gotta have a lady there to make sure that, you know, when people don't understand what they're doing, they can take care of it. But that's one lady for 13 lines, as opposed to 13 ladies for 13 lines or 13 men for 13 lines. So I'm sure that the businesses that are facing this are looking for ways. What happened after the housing crisis? What happened when the housing came? What did the big companies do, Bubba? The reason, what did they do with most of their stuff? How did they solve a lot of their problems?
They went bankrupt.
Well, they did go bankrupt, but the big profitable companies went to technology.
Right.
They started to replace. They didn't have, they got productivity. People that still had jobs, yeah, some went bankrupt, I agree with you. Some that were still doing well, they did two things. They hoarded cash because they were never going to get stuck like that again. That's first thing. They learned that. Secondly, they also learned that productivity is the key. You get the most possible work from your people. And the more work you can get, the better off you are. So my opinion is very simple. This is that you're going to see exactly what you said. They're going to go broke. Some people are going to go broke, or they're going to move to where there's no guarantee. Maybe, you know, this is what bothers me. Let's go to a McDonald's employee now. You got a 15-year-old kid walking in off the street, right?
Right.
And he's going to start, and they're going to pay him $15 an hour. So do your math again. $15 an hour, he works 40 hours a week, he works 52 weeks a year, or if they give him some benefit. He's making $32,000 a year. This is a high school, maybe dropout, whatever. What's the average starting salary from a college student that just paid between $150,000 and $200,000 to get that degree?
I'm following you.
So here's the inequity. Now, that's a big inequity. We talked about that. We talked about the small businessman. We talked about the fact that you're going to see more automation and all of these things. Most of the people, and I'm going to say it right now, these are all Democrats. These are socialists. Most of those people are using studies by other socialists that show that raising the minimum wage really has no effect on productivity and has no effect on the economy. Those studies are based upon minimal raises. Those studies are based upon raising the minimum wage 34 cents and then 34 cents and then 60 cents over a period of time. Those studies are not based upon taking the minimum wage and turning it into grease. And I'm being very specific here. You're suddenly taking the capital base of small businessmen and telling them that their most expensive asset is going to go up by 66%. It doesn't work that way. How can you possibly think that the world, the economic world, is not going to change when you do those things? I think it's nuts. I'm going to tell you something else that really gets me nuts, because I am really crazy about this. Think about this, Bubba. You've now worked in a McDonald's for 8 years, all right? Started out at minimum wage. You're now up to middle management. You're the supervisor. You're running the kids that are coming in for the first time in their life, learning what it's like to get up, get dressed, be smart, talk to people, get off your cell phone, actually speak to people. And all of a sudden, you realize they're making the same or more than you. So not only do we have the problem economically of how much damage this does, what about the social problem? What about all these people that have worked for years to get themselves up to a decent living, and now all of a sudden a 15-year-old kid walks in off the street and he's making as much or more than them? Nobody's talking about this. What happens to those people? What about the social upheaval? What about if you have said this happened to you?
Well, I mean, that's my point. Simple is what you're saying. I mean, so I cannot see this being anything but a disaster. To me, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Because
it's a total disaster. It's total socialism. You know, when the government mandates supply and demand, because is that what they're not doing here? Are they not mandating supply and demand?
They are. That's correct. You are 100% correct.
Who has no skills in the world, that has never been out in the world, has never worked hard, doesn't understand about anything, is going to say, well, no, I don't want that. Who are they going to vote for? Are they going to vote for the Republican and saying, look, you need education, you need skills, and then you work your way up through the ladder? Or are they going to vote for somebody that says, look, immediately we're going to give you the same amount of money as somebody that went to college for 4 years, now has a $150,000 student loan, and we're going to give you the same thing? I see a total social dislocation here as well as an economic. So I see it happening more than one way.
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I think that you've got just – The whole fallout from this is going to be very, very ugly. And this is, you know, this is what you asked earlier, and what companies learned to do when they had problems, and why we're still having problems today, is because really what they did is they got more productivity out of the workers that they had.
Right.
And the ones they had to replace, they found a way to replace them with technology and the workers that they already have, which is why we're not seeing good, solid jobs being made, which is why this is going to be, I'm predicting catastrophe if it all goes through. Because in my opinion, you will see a big influx of more illegals coming into this country to go to work. And you will see the falling of the American small business, because there's no small businessman that can take on this kind of expense.
And in addition to that, what about the social upheaval from those people that have worked hard
100%
to get to this position? What about the guy coming out of college and he realizes a 15-year-old kid
is making more than him?
Going to go flip burgers is getting more money than him.
Yeah. No, listen, I'm going through right now. I mean, it's the real question, but we don't have time for it today. But the real question is the value of spending $250,000 a year to go to college now a real value? Now, again, we're not saying it isn't, but there's a lot to be thought about here with the way that the structure of our economy and the structure of the country is changing. But for today, Memorial Day, again, we do salute the people who gave us this great country, as much as sometimes we bitch about it. But again, still no place like it. We thank you. We salute you. And everybody remember your loved ones, and especially those that took care of us in the armed forces and took care of us there. This has been The Bubba Show. I've been with The Badger, and we're going to stop out here. But make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. We've always got great articles up there for you, plus the Bubba Report, which is now going on to its third month and doing very well, and looking forward to having you a part of it. For today, that'll do it. Everybody have a great holiday, Memorial Day. We will see you back here tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.